Welcome in. A fantastic start to hour number three. It is a Tuesday edition, 4:08 here in the afternoon. Phil Jackman hanging out. We'll get back, get some more with Phil momentarily. But right now, I got to go get Meredith. We'll check back in with Meredith in about 10 minutes. We'll educate her on who Felipe is. Phil Jackman in studio today, formerly the Evening Sun. We've had a wide variety of topics and scopes and different things. And I got so many more things. I want to talk to you about the Olympics, and I want to talk to you about tennis and Wimbledon and boxing and horse racing and all these things that have been relegated into oblivion and obscurity in American sports journalism. But we got some phone callers who've been patient. They've been hanging on. They want to talk to you. And being you are such a celebrity and a star here today, and we brought you back onto the sports map here after those
they must be old guys
down at Calvert Hall kicked you, or Calvert Street kicked you out. T-Bone's here. T-Bone, welcome in.
Hey, guys. What a beautiful Friday. I love it, like, nice and windy like
Tuesday.
This.
Tuesday. Today's Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm losing track of time.
It'll be Friday soon. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, listen, you mentioned all those other sports. I think we're kind of like in a phase in the development of our society where, you know, the sports.
Whoa, you're getting deep now.
Well,
go ahead. All right, I want to hear this.
Well, okay. If you go back to the turn of the century, you had baseball and horse racing and boxing. And then slowly you add basketball and football into the mix, right? And those were the big five. Hockey, to a lesser extent. You always had track and field. Everybody was always interested in track and field. And they kind of ruled the roost there for a long time. But now, I mean, the major sports, they're not trying to cultivate a younger. Baseball surely is not trying to cultivate young kids anymore. They can.
But it's run by a bunch of old guys who don't know anything about being a kid.
Right.
And it's mainly run by a bunch of old guys who never even played baseball.
And corporations.
As a kid.
I mean, it's getting run by a kind of a corporate thing, too. It used to be that they didn't let corporations own teams.
Did Peter Angelos ever stand on a sand lot and play baseball? I wonder.
I'm sure he did.
You think he did?
Sure he did.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Did his kids?
No.
I have a feeling John Angelos probably throws like a girl.
If
I took him out there and gave him a mitt, he could not play catch with me. I have a feeling about that.
I mean, it's happened in all these sports. It happens in entertainment, too. And if you're looking at the newspapers, like, okay, you want to bring up Vessi, right? As a sports columnist, she writes a good style piece. I mean, basically, that's what she's doing. She's writing fluff. But the thing is that they can't afford, the Sun paper can't afford to bring in, they can't have four or five columnists on staff anymore.
Oh, for 50 grand and a cup of coffee,
yeah,
and if
know.
They put up with Jackman's nonsense, he'd come back tomorrow.
First of all, they don't need to because there's no other newspaper competition, okay? It's not like they're competing.
Well, let's stop with that, Phil. Agree or disagree? Let's go point counterpoint with you on this.
Well, I haven't heard the whole thing, but he's doing well so far.
But on the competition thing, do you think the paper's not as good because there's not competition? Would you agree or disagree with that?
I don't know if they want to be good. I don't think the Morning Sun ever really wanted to have an outstanding sports page. I don't think they ever. Call it the managing editor, the publisher. They were just happy with. No.
It's there. We
pretty
put
much,
it out.
Pretty much run of the mill.
That's surely how they're running it now. I mean, they could care less whether they have a good sports page now or not.
Do they honestly think that if their sports section was better, that they would sell more newspapers? I mean, I have no reason to pick up the newspaper. I mean, I wish that there were two or three good reasons every day to spend 50 cents. I mean, it's only 50 cents, but I want three solid opinions most days on whatever. Well, on LeBron James, on the Ravens, on B.J. Searle.
The thing I couldn't understand all the years. The thing I couldn't understand all the years I was there was why the Sunday Sun sports page wasn't, why they didn't try to be like the Boston Globe or the Dallas Morning News. If you look at their Sunday, you have to read every word, and usually the section's 28 pages or something or other. You're reading that Tuesday and Wednesday. You know, they give Peter Gammons a page for baseball, and you read it.
But in 1980, that's the only place you could get information on the Minnesota Twins if you were in Boston, was to read that or on the farm system. Now with the internet and with ESPN, anything that's in the Sunday paper that's not a scoop or a real story, you read about it on Tuesday. I mean, let's be honest, Phil. You wrote these kind of things. Most Sunday papers in America, as of the 1980s, those Sunday notes columns, the thing that Ken Murray now does on football or whatever,
right.
All he's doing is picking up what was in the Green Bay paper on Wednesday.
Yeah, plus putting a top on it.
Right. But
that's why I read and wrote notes all the time. I'm a sports fan. If I'm interested in this, everybody is, you know, I know.
You're going to try to appeal to guys.
You know.
Listen, I loved notes columns. I still do. I like the little snippets, and I like stuff coming from out of the country. I like it, Sports Illustrated, where they take little quips out from, and give a paragraph to a quirky little story.
There's some things that's all it's worth.
Right, and because exactly. That's why novelists put out books of short stories every once in a while, because the story is only that big. But, I get my columnists now come from ESPN Page 2. I mean, that's where I pick up. That's where I get a chuckle. That's where I get a laugh. That's where I get my notes. That's where I get my lists and things of that nature. ESPN.com Page 2 is probably the best sports thing as far as what I'm looking for in the country. And it's fun to read, and it's free, and it's every day. Whereas the Sun paper...
The
Washington Post is 10 times better.
The only stuff I read.
I used to write a column called Reading Time 2 Minutes, and guys thought it was.
I loved Reading Time Two Minutes.
It's terribly funny, and they'd say, "You mean Preparation Time 2 Minutes?" No, that used to take quite a while, and I'll tell you why. There's a knack for writing a good notes column. A lot of people try it, and they can't do it. But it's something that you polish and you work on, and after 5 years or so, you know where to go, where not to go, how to keep people's in. A lot of people write a notes column, and they'll have one featured thing, and they'll start out and they'll write 7 inches on one topic. That's not what a notes column is. 3 dots.
Right.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving.
Right.
You know, it's like gossip.
But if you got 7 paragraphs on a topic, like today,
put it in a notes column.
Write a story about it and put it in the paper.
As a guy that does this 11 years, 4 hours a day, I can't do 4 hours on one topic. I got on any given show. Basically, my show is a 4-hour notes column, and what it is, here's what I think of LeBron James in 2 minutes or less. Here's what I think of Phil Savage being promoted in 2 minutes or less. Here's what I think of the Maryland situation, which is a far more serious thing for yesterday. So I talked about that for 2 hours yesterday. Here's what I think of B.J. Surhoff and the Orioles signing. So right there alone, if I'm a columnist in today's newspaper, if I don't have 15 or 20 inches of good stuff, 4 topics, 5 inches each, or just a whole column like Preston did on Maryland, and I save Phil Savage till tomorrow or B.J. Surhoff or anything else that's going on, newspaper can't do that,
here's the thing, I have no idea. Well, here's the thing. The Baltimore Sun used to have some of the best writers in the country, and they've lost them in recent years. Stephen Hunter, gone. Bill Carter, gone. I never liked Lit when he's gone.
I never liked J.D. Considine as a rock music critic.
No,
Rolling Stone liked him. Yeah, I mean,
I thought he was absolutely brilliant. J.D. Considine was one of my favorite writers of all time. Where's he now? You know,
it's only because you never met him, but that's another story altogether.
Look, it has nothing to do with a lot of people you don't know, but they read great. I'm sure P.J. O'Rourke's a terrible person to meet, but and Hunter Thompson, but they're enjoyable to read. Now, I look at the Washington Post, and they hold on to their writers, I guess, because they have to. They have a big competition.
Well, Wilman and Boswell and Kornheiser and Sally Jenkins have been there a dozen years or more.
Right, but they've got great other writers too. And the Sun paper, they've got the best writer is Candace Thompson, and they bury her on Sunday. She's 10 times the writer that Laura Vesey is. She's fantastic, but they bury her deep on Sundays with the outdoors. Now maybe that's all she wants to do, but I'd much rather read Candace Thompson twice a week than read Laura Vesey. And the other columnists in that paper, I mean, I like Greg Kane, but again, he's not the greatest writer in the whole world. Michael Olesker, he's there by default, because I think, you know, if they got rid of him and Roderick, I don't think either one of them are top-notch writers. They don't have great columnists at that paper anymore. And like Phil said, I don't think they want to be a successful paper. I think they like losing money. It's a Tribune company, right?
Yeah, Chicago Tribune.
I think it's fine. Baltimore can hemorrhage, and they can wipe Baltimore off.
How weird is that when the Cubs come to town this year, the Orioles will be playing the team that owns the Sun? I mean, you start to, when you start to get this interactive commingling of corporations, it's a little strange.
Most people are getting hard. The old timers, the people that are over 30, they still like to have a newspaper in their hands and read it and fold it and bend it and move it every which way.
Oh, I absolutely do too, and it's because they go to the bathroom twice.
Well, right, but the bottom line is that you can get all the news you want, and you can get the Sun paper for free online. Now, how much longer that's going to happen, I don't know. You get the Washington Post, even if you didn't, and you were interested in good sports and news, and Washington Post now covers the Ravens. So you go in there, and you pay 35 cents for it. I mean, the Sun paper's days are as a great paper, and it used to be a very good paper, although I thought the Evening Sun was just superior to the Morning Sun. The days when the Sun paper is a paper that meant something in this country have been over for 10 or 15 years now.
T-Bone, anything else for me?
Nah, that's all. I can't wait till summer gets here. But you know what? It's not the same anymore, in part because we're getting older. I can understand what Phil said, in part because I can't comprehend the salaries and what these guys make and the money that's being made and the guys that are playing with them. Skip Wise would have been a multi-millionaire had he not been born 20 years too early or 30 years too early. He'd have been Kobe Bryant. He'd have been Kwame Brown. He would have been LeBron James.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks, T-Bone. All right. Any comment there, Phil? Any rebuttal? Or are you done with him?
Well, he covered too many subjects to. Nothing leaps to mind immediately. The thing... Aleska is a heck of a city columnist.
I don't think there's any better. How are they getting rid of Michael Aleska tomorrow and replacing him? How's that going to happen?
No, but he doesn't write in the style of Mike Rico or something. He's a city guy, and he knows what's going on in the city, and he writes for people who are interested in what's going on in their city. Now, who this is, Dan Rodericks, is a completely different type guy. Hits, but every once in a while he'll go on one subject and really does a good job.
But I find also, as a guy who has a voice in the media in this city, I'm not passionate about everything. I'm passionate about the things I'm passionate about. And that was one of the problems that got me in trouble doing a national show, is they would come to me every day and say, get passionate about the NBA today.
Mm-hmm.
Just at that point, it is contrived, and I think it sounds contrived.
Those three guys he mentioned, as a reader, an everyday reader, I read them every day, and the only time that Greg Kane, for instance, drives me up a wall is when we have to do the City College wrestling and the good old days, and he remembers the City Poly game from, that's fine every once in a while, but it's always City College. And of course, Aleska went to City College also. You know, we got to get a guy who went to Poly, or a guy who went to Loyola,
right,
or somebody else in there. And you know, he doesn't do it too much. I'm kidding when I say that. But he went into great detail about some, you should know the wrestling terms. They just went over my head. You know, if it's not Hulk Hogan, forget it.
Right, there you go. Or Andre the Giant. I'm not going to make you tell the Andre the Giant urination story. I'm not going to make you tell.
Oh, good.
I'm Meredith Marks with Nasty Traffic on Sports Talk 1570 WNSP.
Thanks, Mayor. All right, before I get back out to the phone lines here, and Miles has been holding forever, I want to bring up one thing with you, Phil. The problem I have, not only with this newspaper, but with the media in general, and I notice this every time I get with large groups of media, and coming back from the Super Bowl, I always aspired to be a sports writer. Never really aspired to be a radio guy. At some point in my career, I aspired to be Scott Garceau or Chris Thomas, you know, doing the 2-minute newscast back when that was a big deal. But I've never, ever wanted to work on SportsCenter or any of that kind of stuff. It was never been my goal to be Dan Patrick. But I go to these events now, and I see the top of the top, the cream of the crop, the best in our business, the highest paid in our business, and I see so little passion or love for one or 1A, pick one, either their job, which is being a reporter or a sportscaster or whatever it is, the act of being a media member, a journalist, or the love of what they cover, be it football, basketball, baseball, hockey. And I like to think that any success that I've had has been that I do have a passion for a couple of things. I have a passion for our city, and I have a passion for the sports teams that play in our city. And I think I have some sort of a passion for justice in sports in our city, that the team gives something back, they do the right thing, that the players aren't a bunch of jerks. And when they are jerks, I call them out on it. And the problem that I have with the media in a big way is that there's no passion left for it. I knew you from the mid-80s. I've known you about 20 years. I still sense that you have an agenda, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but you have a soapbox that you want to get on. Now, that's been taken away from you because you don't write anymore. But you still have something to say. You have a voice. Maybe curmudgeonly, or as your mug says, grumpy, or whatever it is. But it is a voice. And that's something that I don't see in Mike Preston. It's something I don't see in Laura Vesey. I don't see an agenda. And God bless Stedman. And you had your differences with John. And I love John, and I grew up with John. John did go too far with Buddy Young Stadium and with the Babe Ruth Stadium thing and with a bunch of other things. But you know what? He had a stump. He had a soapbox, and he got up on it. And whatever that is, I respect anybody who does that, but I want to see some passion. I mean, Mike Preston should get down on his hands and knees, along with Milton Kent and Laura Vesey and anybody else that has a pen down at that newspaper, because as little boys or little girls, that's all they wanted to do. They grew up wanting to do this. And the day I don't want to do it anymore, and it's coming, before the age of 40 probably for me, that I will get tired of doing this and I won't want to do it anymore. And the last thing I want to be doing is hanging on doing it when I don't want to do it anymore. And they take a guy like you who still would love to do it if they'd leave you the hell alone and go do it, and they replace you with people who are well-paid, well-compensated to do what they grew up wanting to do, and then they go and do it and all they do is bitch about it and are half-hearted and disinterested in doing it. And I think that that's a shame. Do you have any
yeah,
comment on that?
Well, it all comes down to training. I remember Lee Montville once wrote a column in the Washington Globe before he went to Sports Illustrated, and it was sort of an apology. He said he hadn't met, you know, this is when girls were making their mark. They were coming in. And the first 10 women he saw writing, they were doing it because on a whim or something other. And then a girl, I forget who it was.
They're doing it because somebody let them do it.
Yeah.
Not because they you know, you're a girl, we need one of them in sports, come over and do it. And we had 10 of those at the Evening Sun.
Then he met somebody who, and at that point, I hadn't met any girl that took sports as seriously as life and death as so many guys. You can come from a generation of, I mean, I played high school football with a bunch of guys who could care less. And anything about football I wanted to learn, you know. But these guys, it was a way to get a letter or a girlfriend or something, and I couldn't understand that approach. Well, that's what, if you go to the Super Bowl and you see 1,200 guys or something or other, it's a bunch of guys because it's an easy job. It's glamorous in some respects or something or other. But their training was, well, yeah, that's pretty good. You get to travel around and things. I never thought of that. I used to watch every pitch of a baseball game. I wasn't there to be a guest on between innings.
You used to get on a train at 2:00 in the afternoon and take a train to New York City to watch a Rangers-Capitals game in the middle of February in a 20-degree day. Nobody at the newspaper cared whether or not you filed your 12 or 15 inches on a Capitals-Rangers game, but you felt compelled to do it because it was still fun for you.
No, it should be in the paper. See, we seem to be kicking
the stuffing out of the
Morning Sun. There's so many things. A sports page should be balanced. And whether they know it or not, the Stanley Cup playoffs should be in the paper. When Guy Lafleur comes to the Capitol Center and is chasing the scoring title, remember at the end of the year?
Correct.
He got 3 goals and 2 assists, and the five points wasn't enough. He must have lost to Lemieux or somebody or other. That has to be in the paper, whether anybody's going to read it or not. Sooner or later, they will. You know, years ago, I came back from a Capitals game, and the Capitals game stunk, and I stuck around after, and I watched Mont St. Joe play DeMather, I think it was, and it was for something called the MSA Hockey Championship. Now,
something nobody in the city knew existed,
right,
probably.
And I was amazed at how good the hockey was. They were as good as college teams were 20 years ago. Now, all these kids didn't learn how to skate and stick handle and things like that in 15 minutes. They had been going to expensive. So I come back to the paper, and I said, you know, I know we don't want to take on a great deal. You know, we've got enough sports now, but once a month we should run the standings. So finally, this is 10 years ago, more than that. Finally, we are doing something. Mike Franey does a notes column on hockey and things like that. But, you know, it's coming. And, you know, if you're a hockey mother or father, you know, you have to buy an extra car to just transport, if the kid's a goalie. You have to transport the kid around.
Tom Kapp, my dear friend, his kid's a goalie. And, you know, he didn't even like hockey.
Did he go to summer camp?
Yeah, he goes to summer.
What did it cost?
Playing hockey around. Oh, you know, half his mortgage.
Yeah, so this is, and I said, you know, let's get in on the ground floor here and at least run the standings. How about this? Ever since the Bandits left, have you seen one word of the standings in the American Hockey League ever? You know, I'm saying you don't run them every time they come over the wire, but on a Sunday you could slip in the American Hockey League, because at one time there were six major league teams, and the six best minor league teams were the American Hockey League, and Baltimore was a big part of it. And there is not a huge hockey tradition. So, you know,
there are more hockey fans in this city than there are Hood women's college basketball fans. Hood played Wilson last night, and Hood won 76-54, and the paper says there were 145 people there. Now, that takes about as much space in there as running the AHL scores. And I guarantee you there's more interest in the Hershey Bears in
this
city
if you run
than there
one
is in
local
Hood
team,
women's college basketball.
If you run one local team, you got to run them all. You know, and they're not local. I mean state. You know, Frostburg State and Salisbury State, and you know, there's a million little schools. And if you treat, I'm surprised. You know, we run a full box score as opposed to what they do in high school,
which is just a line.
No, they do line score. And you know what? The last month I worked down there, I used to take box scores over the phone. And I'd always want to have five people because it's a five-person game. And I said, well, they didn't score. And I said, so what? We'll put zero in there. But if you look at some of those, if only three girls score or three boys score, we only have three names. And now a guy is reading along and he sees the team gets clobbered and he says, no wonder they only had three players.
4:33. We'll get back to Owings Mills, Perry Hall. We're coming to get you. Hang in there, everybody. I'm going to take some phone calls here. Phil Jackman in studio having a lively debate today here on a Tuesday. Stay with us.